I know this man who has 5 kids, and they go to Mass every Sunday. And in fact, his kids are guitar players, and he sings for this church in Los Angeles called St. Ignatius, and he's a cantor. But what's amazing is I've always wondered why he does it for free. I mean, he has a very good voice, and so do the other choir members. So one day I asked him, I said, you know, why do you... I'm sure if you ask the church, it'd be more than happy to compensate you because you do a wonderful job. And he said, you know, I don't have a lot, but everything that I have comes from God. And he said, you know, Father Francis, I do struggle financially sometimes, but I want to share the gift that God gave me so that I can help others through my singing, deepen their relationship with God, and help build God's kingdom. And what's amazing about this is every time I see this man, on the outside you would think, well, you can use the money so for your children or what have you, but he always seems like joyful, you know, those people that just have peace in their hearts and contentment. And actually, the man I'm talking about is one of my brothers. His name is Robert. And for the last 20 years since I was a little kid, I would wonder why he would do this for free. And what's even amazing is he's a good example to me is, not only does he do this, he still gives, besides that, to the church. My brother, I think, understands this biblical principle that God created each of us to give. Whatever talent or time or treasure that God has given us, everything is just on loan. You know, for the last couple of weeks, I've been talking to you about what it means to be a servant and to be first in God's kingdom. And today, Jesus tells us what it means to be the best disciple that God created us to be. And in order for that to happen, see, Jesus wasn't talking about an event that takes place every once in a while. He's talking about a lifestyle where it becomes who you are. Where you, for example, you volunteer your time to teach at confirmation. Or maybe there's somebody at your school and they're not that popular, or maybe they're struggling in their studies and you're smart and you're like, hey, you know what? I'll help you out. Or maybe you know somebody in the hospital and you figure, I could do other things, but I'm going to visit this person. You see, these are the people that actually, when you talk to them, that have that sense of peace and that sense of fulfillment. Many people out there are unhappy because they're focused on themselves. My problems, my drama, my issues, my goals, and my dreams. And really, when people do this, they don't really advance. All it does is limit what God created them to be. So what I want you all to hear this afternoon is God really created you to give. But you can't give on your own. You have to be connected to the source. And the source is none other than Jesus Christ. So today in the readings, we hear about these widows. I think for postmodern people, we hear a widow, but it's not really a big deal. But in biblical times, a widow is one of the most vulnerable people. Why? Because they didn't have a welfare system. They didn't have a support system where a widow who doesn't have a husband can get financial support. So in the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament, it talks about taking care of the widows and the orphans. This is kind of like the background in the first reading. There's this widow in Zarephath. And it happens in 9th century B.C. when Ahab was the king and he was married to this horrible person. Well, they were both horrible, named Jezebel. And it says that a severe famine broke out. So they had nothing. This is where the prophet Elijah comes into the picture. So imagine this. There's this widow and her son. They have nothing to eat. They don't have food. They don't even have money. And Elijah goes into their house and says, hey, can you give me a cup full of water? It's like, really? Like, don't you know that we're suffering? This doesn't make sense. And then the widow, because she believes and she trusts God, then Elijah says, oh, by the way, give me some bread. And then the widow pleads with him, like, look, we're starving. We're probably going to die, and we're on our last meal. And Elijah said, oh, don't worry about it. Can you give me cake, too, while you're at it? So you're probably, if you really analyze this, it's like, that doesn't make sense. What is wrong with this? So this widow and her child, at her lowest point in her life, she still asks to give. And this is the message. See, when you give, because you're connected to God, you will never run out. And it says towards the end of the reading that her jar will never run, the wheat of flour will never run dry, and the jar will never be empty. And so the widow gave, and it says that for 1 year, she and her son were able to eat, and they were able to live. See, once you understand that biblical principle, every time you make a sacrifice, God sees it. Every time you visit somebody in prison, God sees it. Every time you take time out and you help a coworker who's struggling, or maybe they can't drive, or they don't have a car because it's in the shop, and you help them, God sees that. And that's what God is trying to tell us today. But here's the key. Don't look to help people that will be able to pay you back. Maybe you're doing good things and people don't even say thank you. Maybe people are not even clapping for you, or they're not giving you a round of applause. But you know what? When you sacrifice up in heaven, they are applauding for you. So what if people are not cheering you on? So what if people are not clapping for you? Remember, when you do good things, when you give away, you're not doing it for people. You're doing it for Almighty God. I remember talking to this young girl at my other church, and she was kind of telling me, she's a professional right now, her faith journey. And she said, you know, Father Francis, when I was in high school, I was all snooty. Like, I didn't even talk to girls if they had the wrong jeans. I mean, so, you know, if they had bad hair or wrong jeans, her attitude was, I'm not talking to you. You're not that pretty. And then she said, you know, after I went through confirmation, I began to pay more attention, and I realized, you know, there's something more to life than having the right jeans or having the right cool hair or what have you. And she said, it was then that I realized, you know what? I have gifts. After she graduated from confirmation, after she got confirmed, she actually gave back and returned and became a peer counselor or teacher for that group. And then she went to college, and she also tutored other students because she was really smart. Right now, she does well very professionally, and she's very successful, and she's making a lot of money. But when I asked her, what is the biggest honor or achievement for you? And this is what she had to say. Father Francis, the biggest honor for me is when I go to the soup kitchens and I give sandwiches to the people that don't have food to eat. See, when you understand that biblical understanding of giving, no one is ever too important to serve the least of our society. And that's what God is telling us. You know, you might sit here and you might think, you know, I don't really have a lot of time. I don't really have a lot of money. But that's where you might be missing the point. God wants you to start where you are. God can't trust you with more if you can't even work with what He's already given you. And for many of you, maybe it's not wealth. Maybe it's not money. Maybe it's your time. How long does it take to tell your son or your daughter, you know what? I'm really proud of you. Thank you for what you're doing. Or how long does it take to tell your spouse, honey, I'm so happy that I'm married to you. Thank you for what you do to our family. How long does it take to tell your parents, you know what? I know sometimes I don't listen to you, but thank you for providing for me, for the food and for the house that I live in. See, there are many ways for us to follow in the footsteps of that widow. So it shouldn't be a surprise in the gospel reading. So we hear about this widow, and you could imagine they're all in church, and all these wealthy people, they were giving their large sums of money, right? You could almost see Jesus watching with a scorecard. The Pharisees and the scribes, they were dropping like hundreds or thousands of dollars, but somehow Jesus wasn't impressed. And then there was this widow, once again, the lowest of the totem pole, right? And she drops two coins. For most of us, it's like, dude, like, what's the big deal? Like, that's just two coins. I don't get that. I don't know if when you were growing up, I never really understood why this poor widow was kind of exalted, because I'm like, those are just 2 cents. Like, why is she so special? It's because, is this, she gave from her livelihood. This lady had nothing, and yet she still gave of the little that she had. And that's what Jesus is trying to say. When you give, when you have conversion of heart, where you know what? The things that I have are a loan from God. If you want those things to multiply, you have to learn to give it away. And that's where we end, right? Jesus or God is all about love. You'd never really have love until you learn to give it away. You know how a lot of times it's very easy for us to focus on the things that we're going through, whether you're going through confirmation, trying to apply to a college of your dreams, getting along with kids in your high school, finding the man or woman of your dreams, whatever it is, it's very easy to get stuck in that and really to forget. But when you're visiting somebody at the hospital and they've just been burnt, a severe victim, you actually begin to realize, you know, my life is not that bad. Or you begin to realize being stuck in traffic for 30 minutes or even an hour is not so bad. When you go to Skid Row, I don't know if any of you has ever been there, and you visit these people that are homeless and they don't have food to eat, and you see the raggedy clothes and they haven't bathed in a long time, and you give them the sandwiches, that's when you begin to realize, when you give of your time, wow, this is really what it's all about. You know that young lady that I told you about? Every time I talk to her, even though she's so successful, she's like, you know, God gave me the ability to make money, Father Francis, but it's not for me. I contribute it to the church so that they can create programs to help the needy, to help those in Skid Row, to send people on mission to help the third world countries. This is the bottom line. More than ever, especially as we approach Thanksgiving, right now this message that Jesus tells us is to develop this lifestyle of being able to give. If you want God to multiply the things that you have, whether it's your time, your talent, or your treasure, you can even ask God for a competition, but you will never win. Because if you're generous, God will always give you more in return. Once you understand that the most important thing for God is meeting the needs of the least of his society, when you learn to do that, then God will make sure that he will be there for you when it's your time of need. So my prayer to all of you is you, as you approach to receive the body and blood of Christ, that you look at the example of the two widows. And really, in the end, it's that gift of giving. If you are just like this widow, you're sitting here right now, and you think, you know what, I've hit rock bottom, I have nothing, that's when you really turn to God, and God is saying, you want joy? Give joy to another person. Right? You're struggling financially? Help another person who's struggling financially. Once you understand this biblical principle, it is only then that you will receive fullness of life. It is only then that your jar will never be empty. Amen?